It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last week, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services announced that there had been 17 confirmed cases of E. coli and salmonella linked to alfalfa sprouts produced in Minnesota.
On Friday, the health alert expanded, with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saying the agency was aware of 55 cases nationwide, including four people who had been hospitalized. Health officials in Wisconsin and Minnesota are working together with federal agencies to pinpoint the source and scope of contamination.
It's the latest in a summer of heightened concerns over foodborne illnesses, including salmonella linked to tainted jalapeno peppers and a parasitic cyclosporiasis outbreak that has sickened hundreds of people in Wisconsin.
Jerry Barak is a professor of plant pathology at UW-Madison, where she studies plant-microbe interactions. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You've been studying salmonella and E. coli in produce for decades. What can you tell us about where these germs come from, how they spread?
So salmonella is commonly found in the agricultural production area, whether it's surviving in the soil or it can be in the irrigation water or the surface waters. And it's just a phenomenal environmental survivor, so it's found quite everywhere. E. coli is not as strong a survivor as salmonella, but it can be commonly found in the agricultural production area as well.
So this most recent outbreak was in alfalfa sprouts. How can alfalfa sprouts become contaminated?
So alfalfa seeds are predominantly produced for production of alfalfa hay for animals, and there is not a separate production stream, as you will, for human consumption. So just a small percentage of alfalfa seeds that are produced are then used downstream for sprout production for human consumption. So some of the processes, perhaps fertilizing for the production of these seeds, they could use manure, or they could use waters that could be contaminated, and it wouldn't be a problem for the animals later eating the hay.
Oh,
so
okay.
The seeds could become contaminated in that way. But it's really important to realize that even with a very small number of bacteria, however they could get on the seeds, once those sprouts start sprouting, they exude a lot of sugars, and bacteria love sugars. And as soon as they can access these sugars, they start multiplying very rapidly. And salmonella can replicate six times in a very short period of time.
So food poisoning outbreaks, they tend to be defined by one type of germ. But here is an outbreak involving people with salmonella and different strains of E. coli. Is that unusual at all?
It's very, very rare. I was looking over the data this morning, and I couldn't find a recent outbreak in the United States that had both Chickatoxin E. coli and salmonella infecting people.
So Chigatoxin-producing E. coli, STEC, can you explain a bit more about what that Chigatoxin-producing is?
So Chigatoxin is a toxin that's produced by E. coli, and it's not bothersome to the bacteria, but it is very harmful to animals, especially to humans, and can cause devastating effects in humans that cause hospitalization and can cause kidney damage.
So diarrhea, stomach pains, kidney damage, and especially for populations who might have other health complications like elderly or children.
Absolutely. But that's true for salmonella as well, as they have a more outsized effect on these populations, both the young and the elderly, but also the immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. So anyone taking any type of medication, I don't know if you watch television, but you often see drugs that are advertised on television. And one of the side effects is that you could more easily get infectious diseases, and therefore taking a lot of different medications can actually make you more susceptible to the infections of things like salmonella, that in a healthy human, yes, you'll have watery diarrhea for a few days and you'll have stomach cramps, but it won't send you to the hospital.
How do public health officials track these cases and trace them back to a source?
Good question. So there is usually a background amount of foodborne illness in a community, but as the numbers of people become higher, you first go to the doctor, and the doctor takes a stool sample, and that stool sample is then taken to a lab, and then the bacterium or the causal agent of the disease has to be isolated. And in the case of salmonella, then the genome would be sequenced and it would be uploaded to a national database. And as the number of these uploaded genome samples, as it goes up, that's when the state can recognize, oh, we have a spike in this particular genome, which signals that there could be an outbreak occurring. And when that genome shows up in other places as well, because of the network system, then we can see that it's a multi-state outbreak or a nationwide outbreak.
I would imagine, too, people going to the doctor and, you know, maybe the federal agencies doing interviews of what people ate. Is that also clues?
Absolutely. But that's also one of the problems is if you don't go to the doctor, then you won't show up. So for every case of salmonella, there are at least 7 to 12 people that don't go to the doctor. Because let's realize that if you're having diarrhea, you may not want to leave your house.
Mm. Jerry Brock is a professor of plant pathology at UW-Madison, studying plant-microbe interactions. We're talking with her about recent outbreaks of foodborne illnesses in Wisconsin, most recently E. coli and salmonella linked to alfalfa sprouts produced in Minnesota. Is there anything that consumers can do to mitigate their risk? Does washing produce help? What about alfalfa sprouts?
Well, to your first question, does washing help? Unfortunately, washing does not help. You can't wash salmonella off of produce, off of your lettuce or off of anything, because it has molecular mechanisms, adhesions, if you will. E. coli does as well, to attach very strongly, and washing will not remove them. As far as alfalfa sprouts, the question becomes, depending on if you are part of the immunocompromised population, people don't have to eat sprouts. They are not a requirement for a healthy diet. People think that they're healthy and therefore they add it to their diet. And if a consumer was conscious of, I'm taking this medication or I'm immunocompromised for whatever reason, perhaps that wouldn't be a healthy choice for me to eat sprouts.
So the producer on Friday issued a statement announcing a recall of sprouts delivered to grocers in Wisconsin and Minnesota. How long before an outbreak is contained?
Once the seed source has exited the production stream, then the outbreak will diminish, because sprouts are not viable for very long. And if the producer has figured out which seed lot is linked to this outbreak, they can just stop producing those sprouts from that seed lot.
You've been studying these illnesses for decades, and from your perspective, has anything changed about the frequency or the intensity of these outbreaks?
Good question. So we have a salmonella or an E. coli outbreak in association with sprouts annually for almost the last 2 decades. Sometimes the outbreaks are small, and sometimes the outbreaks are multi-state and are large. So that problem hasn't gone away. The question about whether it's getting worse lately, people eat a lot of salads. And so we still need to think that these outbreaks are rare events. when you think of the number of salads that are consumed by every American in the United States, and that these bacteria live in the environments where we produce our produce. But it is frequent, it is unending, and we just need some better intervention strategies.
With intervention strategies, to note, the Trump administration has cut staffing at the FDA, has cut staffing at the CDC, includes people whose job is to track and mitigate foodborne illnesses. Do you see signs that cuts could hamper an agency's efforts to keep our food supply safe?
I did note over the weekend that on the CDC website, there used to be a chronology list of all of these salmonella outbreaks over the last 10 to 15 years, and that list is no longer publicly available. Some of the links on the CDC website are broken, and you worry that this is no longer a priority for the administration. And when we don't prioritize human health or foodborne illness, the likelihood that it could become worse is not surprising.
Jerry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That is Jerry Brock, a professor of plant pathology at UW-Madison, where she studies plant-microbe interactions. She joined us to talk about recent outbreaks of foodborne illnesses. Last week, U.S. health officials documented more than 36 cases of food poisoning tied to alfalfa sprouts in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and urged people to throw out sprouts sold under the brand names Everything Sprouts and Calco.